for answer to General John Abizaid's statement that I think we will need more troops than we currently have.
If that's what he says, he was in my office this morning. He didn't say that to me, but if he were to say that, I'd listen to him. Just like I've said all along, that when our commanders say that they need support, they'll get support.
Excuse me, Governor, but I'm not sure you're telling the truth. You sent those men over there in Humvees that didn't have any armor on the sides of them. How many hundreds of men did we lose to small rockets because you sent them over there in unarmored Humvees? How many, Mr. Governor? Second, what about those vests? You say these men will have the support if they ask for it? Well, I think all those men over there would like to have a Kevlar vest. You sent them over there in Vietnam-era vests, 30-year-old vests that were falling apart, that don't provide much protection. You sent them over. This kid's over in Iraq writing home, Ma, Ma, send me a bulletproof vest. Get on the Internet. Go to Walmart. Find me a bulletproof vest so the next time a bullet hits me in the chest, I can effing still come home at the end of the war. Hurry, Ma, send me a bulletproof vest because Bush sent me over here without one, the son of a bitch.
Because we're going to succeed in this mission. First part of the question was, how come we haven't found Zarqawi? We're looking for him. He hides. He's got an effective weapon, and that is terror.
Excuse me, Governor, but the question was, why haven't you found him? Do you really want your answer to be, because he hides? We know you're stupid, Governor, but you're not that stupid, are you? You're not really that stupid, are you?
I said yesterday that our military cannot be defeated by these thugs.
But, Governor, if they can't defeat our military, what are we waiting for? We've got these towns surrounded, but we're not attacking. Why is that, Governor? We're an invading force that's called a truce. We're just sitting over there. We're occupying half of Iraq. What are we waiting for? Why don't we attack? Why is the battle not over, Governor? Can you explain yourself? Oh, could it be the politics of the situation? Is that what we got going here? You're trying to make your reelection run a little smoother? So you're having them just sit there in the desert getting picked off three at a time because it's not a good time for you to have a battle on your hands. Is that what you're trying to tell us, Governor? Jeez, you make me sick. When it comes to being a war president, Governor, you're not.
But what they do is behead Americans so they can get on the TV screens. But I'm not going to yield. We're not going to abandon the Iraqi people. It's in our interest that we win this battle in the war on terror. See, I think that the Iraq theater is a part of the war on terror. That's what the Prime Minister said as well. He believes the same thing. He understands what's going on there. After all, he lives there.
No, Governor, he doesn't understand that. He understands that he works for you. He's a former CIA dupe. He's a former CIA tool. And what makes you think he's not on the CIA's payroll now? What? He was once on the CIA's payroll, but now that he's in charge of Iraq, he's no longer on the CIA payroll? Is that what you're telling us? You fired him, you gave him a cut in pay because he agreed to take over that hellhole where they execute people like me and you take breaths? Is that what you're trying to explain, Governor? Are you saying that he's not a tool of yours, Governor? Why in the world, you say he's an Iraqi, he knows what's going on, you talk about his country. Why couldn't we get an Iraqi to run things that wasn't a member of the BFEE who wasn't a CIA operative? What, 25 million people over there, the size of Texas, and the only guy in the entire country that could run the place was someone on your payroll? Is that what you're trying to tell us, Governor?
And I believe that if we wilt...
Look at him. The little bastard thinks now is the time to take a shot at Kerry. Oh, we cannot wilt. We cannot wilt because that's what Kerry would do. Kerry the wilter. We can't wilt, so we got to do it my way because we can't wilt.
Or leave America, security will be much worse off.
And we need our security in the best possible condition if we're going to win this war, because security is important.
I believe that
if we fail in Iraq, you got a mouse in your pocket, Governor? Who is we? We went in. You're the one that went in over the wishes of the entire world, Governor. Now you're talking about we might fail?
It's the beginning of a long struggle. We will not have done our duty to our children and our grandchildren.
Wait, you murdered 25,000 Iraqi civilians for our children and our grandchildren? I don't think there's anyone outside of your administration that would agree with that, Governor. Everybody agrees that we're much, much worse off than we were. You threw away the surplus. Now we've got a massive deficit. We've got maybe 10 times the people willing to die to take some Americans with them. And you're worried about the children and the grandchildren? What was wrong with Clinton's peace and prosperity and the surplus to give to the grandchildren, Governor?
And so that's why I'm consistently telling the Iraqi citizens that we will not be intimidated. That's why my message to Mr. Zarqawi is, you cannot drive us out of Iraq by your brutality.
Wait, check that out. He's so proud that he thought of the word brutality.
By your brutality. It's tough work. Everybody knows that. It's hard work. But we must not allow the actions of a few. And I emphasize that. I say that because there are 25 million Iraqis, by far the vast majority of whom want to live in a free society. And we cannot allow the actions of a few to determine the fate of these good people, as well as the fate of the security of the United States.
So basically what you've done is explained that we're caught up in an Iraqi civil war. You say the majority wants us there. Funny how that handful of people is coming up with 80 attacks a day. Pat Buchanan said on the way home, now it's up to 85. Yesterday when I started taping the show, it was 80. Now it's up to 85 attacks per day. But you say it's just a handful of people. Eh, Governor? Oh, what could be better than a civil war in the sand in a Muslim country halfway around the world where we're not even attacking? We're just sitting there waiting for the election to get over so we can engage in the bloodiest battle we've seen since Vietnam. Oh, what a great day. Hey, check it out. Bush's puppet wants to speak.
To have more troops, we don't need. What we need really is to train more Iraqis, because this is ultimately for Iraqi security forces to take responsibility for their own security and to defend the rest of the civilized world.
Wait, if this Alawi guy is really from Iraq, why does he have the same accent as Arianna Huffington? Listen to him.
What is happening, sir, in Iraq is really, Iraq is becoming a front line for a global fight against terrorists. So that's why Zarqawi is not alone. There are other groups similar to Zarqawi. There are groups who are insurgents who have stained their hands with the murders of the Iraqi people, who are Saddam's loyalists. They are working together. We assure you that we are going to defeat these evil forces in Iraq and throughout the world.
Steve.
Trouble with the American people about how tough it is there. How do you respond to it?
It's hard work in Iraq. Everybody knows that. We see it on our TV. My message is that...
Excuse me, Governor, but nobody asked what your message was. They asked how you're going to justify telling America everything is rosy over there when we're losing. When the generals on your side say we're losing. When the senators on your side say we're losing. When the soldiers come back saying, oh, please, that's a madhouse over there. We're losing big time. And then here comes the president who's up for election in 60 days talking about, oh, things are peachy and rosy over there. We don't believe you, Governor. As you just said, we see it on the TV every day. And then you tell us, oh, that's not blood on those soldiers, that's rose juice.
I believe that when we succeed in Iraq, that America will be more secure. I also know that a free Iraq will send a clear message to the part of the world that is desperate for freedom.
But, Governor, what message are you sending the rest of the world when America has to turn tail and leave because you got us in a situation that we can't get out of? You went in with too few troops. When the troops got there, they zoomed ahead of their supplies. They outran their supplies. They took a city so fast, they failed to guard the borders. That left every ne'er-do-well and thug in the world to show up and blow up a couple of American soldiers. What the hell were you thinking?
It's hard work. The American people know that. But I believe it's necessary work. And I believe a leader must be consistent and clear and not change positions when times get tough.
America needs a leader who won't change when circumstances change. It's always right to stay the course, no matter what. Always stay the course, no matter what. That's what you call leadership. What you call not wilting.
And the times have been hard. These are hard times.
He didn't really say that, did he?
And the times have been hard. These are hard times. But I understand that what mixed messages do. That's why I will continue to lead with clarity and in a resolute way. Because I understand the stakes. These are high stakes.
Then an Iraqi reporter asked why supplies weren't getting through to the people, that if we could get some supplies to the people, that might encourage other nations to donate also. But why should people donate if the supplies aren't making it to the people? Bush had a great answer.
At least three aspects to the reconstruction project. One is our own money. And as I mentioned in my remarks, there's $7 billion committed. We've got more money to spend, and we will spend it when contracts are let. And when there's enough security in certain neighborhoods to be able to spend the money wisely.
But, Governor, your puppet said that Iraq is peaceful and there's no problem. But then you turn around and say you can't get supplies to the people because there's not enough security. Why the hell can't the two of you get together, decide on a lie, and then speak with the same mouth?
Secondly, part of making sure that the Iraq balance sheet is in good shape is to continue to work on debt reductions.
But, Governor, Iraq can make $100 million a day pumping oil. Why do they need their debts relieved? Why don't we relieve debts in places like, Africa, where they're broke and don't have $100 million a day? All that money's going into your pocket, Governor. Would you please just admit that live here now in front of the American people?
Gregory. Mr. President, you say today that the work in Iraq is tough and will remain tough, and yet you travel this country and a central theme of your campaign is that America is safer because of the invasion of Iraq. Can you understand why Americans may not believe you?
No. Anybody who says that we are safer with Saddam Hussein in power is wrong.
But, Monkey, nobody said that. When he asked you, explain yourself when you say things are safer, you say, well, if Billy falls off his bike, he scrapes his knee. God damn, why don't you get back to the question that was asked? Plus, I got an idea for you. How about instead of Saddam, who never attacked us, being in jail makes us safer, how about Osama in jail makes us safer? Do you know what the difference is between Osama and Saddam, you crazy shit?
We went into Iraq because Saddam Hussein defied the demands of the free world. We went into Iraq after diplomacy had failed. And we went into Iraq because I understand after September the 11th, we must take threats seriously before they come to hurt us.
But, Governor, there was no threat. You've spent 1,040 lives protecting us from something that didn't exist. You're not qualified to be president. You're not qualified to run the fry stand at McDonald's. You're not qualified to say, welcome to Geek Mart. May I help you?
And I think it's a preposterous claim to say that America would be better off with Saddam Hussein in power.
Monkey, would you stop answering questions that nobody asked? Would you stop being outraged by statements that were never made? What is wrong with your brain that you can't stick to this subject?
I certainly know that that's the case for America, and I certainly know it's the case for the Iraqi people. These are the people who were tortured. This good man was abed in a London flat, and he wakes up with two Saddam henchmen there with axes, trying to cut him to pieces with an axe. And fortunately, he's alive today. Fortunately, we call him friend and ally.
Wait a minute. If he was asleep in a hotel room and two dudes showed up with an axe to kill him, and he's standing here today, I think an explanation is in order. I think there's a story there to be told. Why don't you tell us that story, Mr. President, instead of making some shit up?
But he knows what it means to have lived under a society in which a thug like Saddam Hussein would send people with axes.
I'm not sure I get that argument. If you have no F-16s, and you have no satellites, and you have no AWACS, and you don't have super sophisticated computers from the future, how the hell are you supposed to attack a guy? If you're a backwards medieval country, you're going to attack a guy with an axe instead of an F-15. And what difference does it make to the dead guy which weapon killed him?
To try to kill him in bed in a London flat? Now, this world is better off with Saddam Hussein in prison.
Sir, may I just follow? Because King, I don't think you're really answering the question. I mean, I think you're responding to Senator...
If you listen close, you can listen to the little snot-nosed bastard laughing. He's so confused about what to do when someone talks back to him, when someone doesn't say, oh, yes, your mastership, and turns around and leaves. When someone says, excuse me, Could we get an answer to the question instead? Listen to him laugh.
I mean, I think you're responding to Senator Kerry. Where there are beheadings regularly, the insurgent violence continues, and there are no weapons of mass destruction. My question is, can you understand that Americans may not believe you when you say that America is actually safer today?
Imagine a world in which Saddam Hussein were still in power.
But, Monkey, he didn't say a goddamn word about Saddam. He said, why do you think people would believe your lying ass? And then you say, well, let's talk about Saddam over here. No, Monkey, answer the question that's right in front of your face. If you can't answer it, say, duh, I can't answer that one.
This is a man who harbored terrorists, Abu Abbas, Abu Nadal, Zarqawi. This is a man who is a sworn enemy of the United States of America. This is a man who used weapons of mass destruction.
That he bought from Rumsfeld, your daddy, and Uncle Dick.
Going from tyranny to democracy is hard work. But I think the argument that says that Saddam Hussein, if Saddam Hussein were still in power, we'd be better off, is wrong. King.
Sir, I'd like you to answer Senator Kerry and other critics who accuse you of hypocrisy or opportunism when, on the one hand, you put so much stock in the CIA when it said Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and now say it is just guessing when it paints a pessimistic picture of the political transition. And I'd like to, if you don't mind, follow on something the Prime Minister just said. If General Abizaid says he needs more troops and the Prime Minister says he does not want more troops, who wins?
Let me talk to General Abizaid. As I said, he just came in to see me, and I want to make sure. I'm not suggesting any of the reporters here might be taking something out of context. That would never happen in America. But nevertheless, I do want to sit down and talk to him about it. Obviously, we could work this out. I mean, if our commanders on the ground feel it's in the interest of the Iraq citizens to provide more troops, we'll talk about it. That's why they're friends. That's what we do about friends. First part of the question? Listen, the other day I was asked about the NIE, which is a national intelligence estimate. This is a report that talks about possibilities about what can happen in Iraq, not probabilities. I used an unfortunate word, guess. I should have used estimate. And CIA came and said, this is a possibility, this is a possibility, and this is a possibility. But what's important for the American people to hear is reality. And the reality is right here in the form of the Prime Minister. And he is explaining what is happening on the ground.
We know what's happening on the ground in Iraq, Governor. Every time someone puts up a sign that says, would you like to join the police force? Apply here. A bomb goes off and kills 100 people. That's what's going on in Iraq. That's what you call march to democracy. It's what everybody else on the planet calls an inescapable quagmire of death.
That's the best report. And this report was written in July, and now we are here in September. And as I said, estimate would have been a better word. Hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute, please. Please. We've got other people from... Hold on for a second.
From
Iraq. Are you from Iraq?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hold on a second. We need people from Iraq first, please. One journalist from Iraq. You're not from Iraq, Alan. And neither are you, Elizabeth.
Excuse me, Governor, but there's a low-flying plane coming in.
You have been accused on the campaign trail in this election year of painting an overly optimistic portrait of the situation on the ground in Iraq. Yesterday in Valley Forge, you said that there was a handful of people who were willing to kill to try to disrupt the process. Isn't that really understating the case, particularly when there are intelligence reports that hundreds, if not thousands, of foreign fighters are streaming across the border from Syria to take up the fight of the insurgency? And do you believe, given the situation on the ground in Fallujah and other northern cities in the Sunni Triangle, that elections are possible in 4 months?
I do. Because the Prime Minister told me they are.
Oh, check it out. My paid employee, the CIA plant, says we can do it. And if things go wrong, blame that son of a bitch. Don't blame me. I just go by what they tell me. I'm here in Washington. He's on the ground in Iraq. It's his fault.
He's interested in moving this country forward. And you heard his statement, and I believe him.
Governor. You are lying to us. You're the only one on the planet that believes this clown. What is he getting paid? Could you disclose his salary? Is he getting $1 million every 2 weeks? Is he getting $1 million a day? Give us a clue, Governor. How much is this guy? You're making $100 million a day. You could give this guy $5 million a day and come way the hell out ahead. So you're going to pin everything on this poor bastard if he survives the week, if he's not assassinated. Oh, please, Governor. What a hand job you're giving this entire... Is your hand not tired, Governor?
First part of the question. Yeah, got it. Yesterday, right, I said, look, what we're seeing on our TV screens are the acts of suicide bombers. They're the people who are, that are affecting the nightly news. And they know its effect. I said that the enemy cannot defeat us militarily. What they can do is take acts of violence that try to discourage us and try to discourage the Prime Minister and the people of Iraq. Look, I'm fully aware we're fighting former Baathists and Zarqawi network people. But by far the vast majority of people, John, and of 25 million people, want to live in freedom.
So you're saying if there's only 10 million suicide bombers currently in Iraq, that there's a clear majority, the other 15 million, who are not suicide bombers. So therefore, the clear majority is not willing to die to get us out of Iraq. So that's good news that there's only 10 million suicide bombers. Correct, Governor?
It is tough work. Everybody in America knows that. And the fundamental question is, are we going to allow the tough work to cause us to retreat, to waver?
No, I believe the fundamental question is, why can't you tell the damn truth when there are thousands of lives at stake? We've lost 1,000 men because you can't tell the truth, Governor. That's the fundamental question. And would you quit telling us it's hard? We see the men dying every day. We know it's hard. Why do you keep repeating that? What's wrong with you? Are you drinking again, Governor? Is that why you can't concentrate? Is that why you're answering questions that weren't asked?
And my answer to the American people and the Iraqi people and to the enemy is that we will complete our mission. We will do our duty. We will adjust strategies on the ground depending upon the tactics of the enemy.
Wait, what happened to being firm and resolute? You promised to be firm and resolute. Now you're going to change things? That sounds like a flip-flop to me, Governor. What the hell's wrong with you flip-flopping after you promised to be resolute?
But we're not going to allow the suiciders to drive us out of Iraq.
No matter how many thousands of teenagers come home in flag-draped coffins, we are not leaving. No matter what, no matter how many tens of thousands of young lives we have to sacrifice, I'm not giving in, because when I say something, I stick with it, because my name is Duke Wayne W., and I don't wilt.
Iraq is made out of 18 provinces. 18. Out of these 18 provinces, 14 to 15 are completely safe. There are no problems.
Can you believe this crazy bastard? Can you believe what he just said? He just said Baghdad was completely safe and had no problems. He just fucking said that. Baghdad is completely safe and has no problems. Excuse me, I disagree. In the goddamn green zone inside Baghdad, there are problems. You can't walk out your front door in the green zone without your helmet and your flak jacket on because you don't know when the next mortar shell's going to explode. Jesus Christ, could you get within a light year of the truth? You lying bastard, and shame on every reporter in that room for not calling him on it right there and right now. 50 of them should have started groaning saying, oh, please, get real. What do you mean? This monkey just said that 75% of Iraq is problem-free when the capital has 60 or 80 bombs go off a day, problem-free?
So really, if you care to look at Iraq properly and look, go from Basra to Nasiriyah to Kut to Diyala to Najaf to Karbala to Diwaniya to Sumawa to Kirkuk to Sulaymaniyah to Dahuk, to Arbil, there are no problems. It's safe. It's good.
All those towns are safe. All those towns are good. Can you believe this lying bastard? Can you believe the president that's helping him sell this lie? And can you believe the Washington Press Corps that dutifully writes down whatever their master tells them to write down and they don't question a thing? How dare they call themselves reporters? How dare they?
So really, I call upon the responsible media throughout the world, not only here, to look at the facts as they are in Iraq.
I would like to remind everyone this man is a paid-for, hand-picked employee of the Bush family evil empire. They needed someone in Iraq to toe the line, and they hired the CIA operative, the CIA tool, to be their mouthpiece. And then Bush, the idiot, has the gall to stand there and says, well, if Mr. Alawi says so, I'll do whatever he says. Oh, please. Yeah, my boss always followed my orders. That's how I got to be a millionaire.
Mr. President, Mr. Prime Minister, I'd like to ask about the Iraqi people. Both of you have spoken for them today. And yet over the past several months, there have been polls conducted by the Coalition Provision Authority, by the Oxford Institute and other reputable organizations that have found very strong majorities do not see the United States as a liberator, but as an occupier, are unhappy with American policy, and want us out. Don't the real voices of the Iraqi people themselves contradict the rosy scenarios you're painting here today?
Let me start by that. You said the poll was taken when the CPA was there? Yeah, okay, let me stop you. First of all, the Iraqi people now have got Iraqi leadership. Prime Minister Alawi and his cabinet are making decisions on behalf of the Iraqi people.
That's an outright lie, and I am ashamed of every reporter in the room that didn't scream, that's not true, Mr. President. Alawi is not running Iraq. Alawi is following orders. He's doing exactly what he's told. He's got strings on his hands. You can see him during the press conference.
Secondly, I saw a poll that said the right track, wrong track in Iraq was better than here in America.
Oh, God, did he really say that? That has to be the biggest gaffe in the entire history of the Bush administration, which is nothing but a ridiculous, idiotic gaffe from the time he said, I do. Iraq is the shithole of the world, and he's saying Iraq is happier with the way their country is going than the way America is going? People in Iraq are happier with their mess than America is with our mess, and this monkey is still ahead in the polls, or so the networks tell us?
It's pretty darn strong. I mean, the people see a better future. Well, talk to the leader. I agree. I'm not the expert on how the Iraqi people think, because I live in America, where it's nice and safe and secure.
Nice, safe, and secure? Well, yeah, maybe, except for the terrorism alerts. This is Friday. This morning's paper, bigger than Dallas, Bush screams, more attacks are coming. And he's proud he lives in a country that's safe and secure like America?
But I've talked to this man. One reason I'm optimistic about our ability to get the job done is because I talked to the Iraqi Prime Minister.
Your hand-picked employee is rarely going to disagree with you, Mr. President. You sign his paycheck. His life depends on you. If you do to him what you did to Chalabi, he's a dead man. His life is in your hands. He's not going to disagree with you. He apparently doesn't have a death wish, although in London he said terrorists were pouring into the country at the same time you said there was just a handful of people there. You two guys can't decide which lie you're trying to sell to the American people. I wonder if there's anybody in the American landscape that's capable of telling the truth about this war and the idiot that dragged us into this with a bunch of lies that made him and his family rich. Is there anybody that will stand up and tell the damn truth?
When you're at war, it is important to tell the truth to the American people. The president says that things are getting better in Iraq, and we must just stay the same course. Well, I disagree. They're not getting better, and we need to change the course to protect our troops and to win.
I can't believe I'm actually hearing the truth. I can't believe Kerry is actually speaking the truth. I can't believe Kerry woke up and has joined the battle. Go, John, go! Tell us the truth!
Thousands of terrorists are crossing the borders and entering into Iraq. It has become a magnet for terrorism. America needs leadership that tells the truth.
I can't believe I'm hearing this from a Democrat. John, where have you been the last 2 years? Where have you been the last year? Where have you been the last 6 months? Where have you been this summer, John? Suddenly you woke up and you're telling the truth. My God, how different would this race be had you woke up in March? You might be ahead by 25 points. You're battling the most idiotic monkey who giggles when he murders, who's killed 1,000 of our people and 25,000 of theirs. All for no reason. He took the surplus and turned it into a deficit. He turned peace and prosperity into war and death? You should be ahead by 30 or 35 points, John. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad to hear the truth, but think how different it would be had you joined the fight before the 14th round.
George Bush just yesterday said the CIA was just guessing on Iraq. They're not just guessing. They're giving the President of the United States their best judgment. It's called an analysis. And the President ought to read it, and he ought to study it, and he ought to respond to it.
In other words, the President ought to come to work, and he ought to do his job. And when they hand him a memo that says we're about to be attacked, he ought to read it himself instead of giving it to some junior aide and going on vacation for another month, knowing that we're about to be attacked.
The President says just stay the course and everything will be fine. We need to bring other allies to the table. The President skedaddled out of New York so quickly he barely had time to talk to any leaders.
Well, now, you can't hardly blame Bush for that, because every leader in the world hates him. Nobody wants to talk to that ignorant monkey because they know he's going to just give him that old big bully routine, I don't care what you think, and then storm out of the room with his arrogant swagger.
We need a summit. We need to bring people to the table. We need to behave like we are at war. A president's true test of leadership is how he responds when things are going wrong. You need to be prepared to tell the truth. And I think that a president who fails to admit his mistakes is a president who proves that he doesn't know how to make the course correct. A commander-in-chief's first obligation in time of war is to tell the truth.
And we know when to kill if we can't handle.